I'm going to ask you, join me, let's share a word of prayer and dive right in to the word of God. Father, we thank you again for tonight. We bless and we magnify your name because of this unique opportunity that we have been given to come around the word of God. Lord, we do not take it for granted. It is such a blessing that we can come every time like this, and we can come and meet with you and gather together with the saints, and that the Holy Spirit is here with us. And as he opens his word and he grants us fresh manna from heaven, he fills our lives with understanding. He fills us, Lord, with substance. We thank you. We thank you for that. I pray tonight, God, that you loosen my tongue. Grant me utterance in the name of Jesus. I yield to you, Holy Spirit. Give your people understanding. Help us receive everything that you have for us. I give you all the glory and I give you all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. And amen. And amen. And I thank you so much again for joining tonight. God bless you. Let's get right into the word of God. Excuse me. Let's go to Matthew chapter 16. Powerful scripture that we read last week. And let's read from verse 16 to 19. Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say also unto you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gate of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you shall lose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." We devoted last week's teaching service, as well as this week's teaching service tonight, to discussing our sixth PowerPoint in praying for yourself. We have identified seven most important PowerPoints in praying for yourself. And we have been on this journey for several months, just learning and digging into the Word of God and growing in understanding. We have already learned the previous PowerPoints that we've studied. We started out by talking about the importance of abiding in God and allowing His Word to abide in us. We learned about the power of committing to God's will. We learned about the power of growing in faith and engaging our faith in the place of prayer. We learned about the simple word but extremely powerful concept of asking, what it means scripturally to ask when we pray. Then we learned about forgiveness. We talked about forgive and eliminate all unforgiveness and strife from your life. That's so powerful. And that led us to where we are tonight and what we are currently studying, which is recognize in prayer. Recognize what is rightfully yours in Christ and demand it in His name and authority. Recognize what is rightfully yours in Christ and demand it in His name and authority. We said a few things last week just to bring us up to speed. I'm going to highlight one or two of those things. I really don't have too much time tonight, so I want to move along real quickly because I want us to conclude this part of this PowerPoint tonight so that we can move to our last PowerPoint, our seventh PowerPoint, by the grace of God from next week. We learned last week, we were reminded, one of the things we learned when we studied the power of forgiveness is that there is a direct connection between our walking in forgiveness, our walking in love, and how much spiritual authority we are able to engage in. Why is spiritual authority important? It is important because a lot of times our praying is making requests of the Father. Many times when we pray, we are literally making our requests of the Father, like we learned what asking is. The three components of asking is articulate your request, present it confidently, and then have an expectation of a favorable outcome, of favorable response. And many times when we pray, we're actually asking, we're praying to the Father. And the Lord gave us the power of attorney. It's one of the most powerful things that we have been given in the New Testament. The power of attorney that is in the name of Jesus. So that when we come to pray, when we ask, it is almost as though the Lord Jesus Christ himself was the one asking. So asking and praying many times is making requests of the Father. But then a lot of times, praying is really not making requests of the Father at all. Praying is recognizing what is rightfully yours in Christ and making a demand for those things in his name and in his authority. A lot of times when we pray, you know, there are things that we're praying about where we can see readily, oh, this is a violation of God's promises to me. So, really, I shouldn't be talking to the Lord about this. Because he made this promise, he made this covenant. So, as far as the Lord is concerned, he's already done this for me. But the enemy keeps violating my rights where this covenant promise is concerned. And so in those situations, we need to recognize that. And we need to take our stand our ground, make a demand, and insist that what is rightfully ours will come to us. Hallelujah. A lot of times in our lives, I remember as a young believer, when I had not learned a whole lot of things like this, just learned a few things. I was growing, doing my best to grow as a child of God. And I'll never forget how constantly I had this particular dream that I knew was a violation of my relationship with God. And as a young believer, I struggled with it for a long time. And, you know, many times I'll have that dream, I'll wake up so upset, almost like something had been taken away from me, like I'd lost something that was rightfully mine, but I didn't know what to do about it. And I'll go and pray and cry and cry and cry. But thankfully, as I kept on growing, kept on learning, somebody finally, eventually taught me about my spiritual authority in Christ. And they told me what to do whenever the enemy tried to bring that violation again through my dreams. And I found out just by obeying the instruction I was given, Satan would, he would literally run when I got up and did what he said. Satan would literally back off, and for a long time, he wouldn't come back. Now, after a season, after a long while, he'll come back again and try, but I'll remember what I was, I'll get up and I'll do it, and he'll be gone again. There's such power. You remember the story of that woman we learned, we talked about last week, the late Kenneth E. Hagin, that woman whose daughter was being tormented. And for a long time, she was crying. All she knew to do was cry. You know, a lot of believers, maybe even somebody, some people listening to me tonight, maybe all you do is cry. I know so many people, and in my journey of my work, my ministry over the years, especially in the early years of my pastoring, a lot of people would say to me, you know, there could be someone who had a pregnancy, who was waiting on the Lord for a child, and they'll do everything, and the enemy will suddenly show up, and there'll be a miscarriage. And they'll get up and, you know, all they have from that pregnancy is the enemy's, he's violated them, and he's taken away that gift. And I know how they'll be so broken, heartbroken. And many times they'll weep. And I remember one time I ran into this particular scripture in Micah chapter 4. Micah chapter 4 and verse 8. And it says, "Thou, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, unto thee shall it come, even the first dominion. The kingdom shall come to the daughter of Jerusalem." This is Micah chapter 4 and verse 8. Then he said in verse 9, "Now, why dost thou cry aloud?" Why are you crying? "Is there no king in you?" he says. "Is your counselor perished? For pangs have taken thee as a woman in travail." Why do you cry? Is there no king in you? And there are times when we literally have to get up mad in the spirit. And we've got to get up with and muster together all the spiritual grace that we have in this authority. Remember when it says, the first dominion, is said in verse 8, "Thou tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, unto thee shall it come, even the first dominion." You know, the first dominion was when Adam and Eve were given charge over the garden. And the Lord said, "Have dominion over it. Multiply, replenish there, have dominion over it." Your first dominion. And that domain, that garden, was their domain. They were called to tend it, to nurture it, to keep it. That was their domain. And any intruder that came into that domain should have been expelled. The serpent had no place having a conversation, dialogue, and negotiation with Eve. No place. There was no place for it. That first dominion that was given to man still resides with us today. Jesus restored it. We have been given authority in Christ. We have spiritual authority. So when the enemy tries to violate our covenant possessions or covenant rights or covenant benefits or covenant privileges in Christ Jesus, we don't cry. We don't cry. This is one of the most important things that you and I receive when we come into Christ. In John chapter 1 and verse 12, in verse 11 it says, well, verse 10, "He was in the world," talking about Jesus Christ, "and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not." Verse 11, "He came unto his own, and his own received him not. verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. I want to read that verse 12 to you from the Amplified Version here. He said, but to as many as did receive and welcome him, he gave authority. The Greek word is exousia. He gave authority. And then he put in parentheses, power, privilege, right. I love that. Power, privilege, right. To become the children of God, that is to those who believe in, adhere to, and trust in, and rely on his name. He gave the privilege to. He gave the right. So when we received him, he gave us authority. This authority is a power, is a privilege, is a right. It says to become sons of God, to become sons of God. We're not little babies that can be kicked around. No, we are sons of God. We are sons of God, like the Lord Jesus Christ himself, sons and daughters of God. We have authority, we have dominion. Well, how do we exercise this authority? How do we exercise this dominion? We exercise it in prayer. When we recognize what is rightfully ours in Christ and make a demand. We recognize what is rightfully the kingdom's. So when it's in our personal lives, it's ours. When it's corporate, like in the kingdom, in our fellowships and things, it's for the kingdom. We recognize it's rightfully ours and we exercise that authority. We exercise that dominion in prayer. We're not asking the Father for it. He's already given. He's the one who gave us that first dominion. Hallelujah. Ooh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We exercise that dominion. Remember, the Bible says we have been raised to sit with Christ in the heavenly places. Look at it. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 20. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. He raised up Jesus. But then, look at what he did for us in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. We know he raised up Jesus far above. What about us? Did he raise up Jesus to sit far above and then we are sitting there at the foot of the cross? And we're just non-entities and nobodies? No. John 1:12 says he gave us authority, power, privilege, right to become the sons of God. Look at what he did for us in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. And he has raised us up together and made us sit together with Christ in heavenly places. So wherever Christ is seated, we're seated there. Well, how do we exercise that dominion? In the place of prayer. When we take our stand and we insist. We insist. This has to become a revelation to us saints. Like Micah said, why do you cry? Why do you cry? Yeah, there's a place for crying in prayer. When we are supplicating before our Father. Sometimes there's worship and sometimes our hearts are just pouring out in his presence. Yes, there's a place for crying. But not when what we are dealing with is Satan, or one of these is silly cohorts trying to trespass or violate or take from us what is rightfully ours or hold something back that the Lord has given to us? Mm-mm. We've been raised up with Christ. We sit with him, together with him, in the heavenly places. We have spiritual authority. Hallelujah. We have spiritual authority. And we must learn to exercise our spiritual authority by walking in that dominion. We must learn to say, in the name of Jesus, I declare this. In the name of Jesus, I insist on this. If Satan is trying to take something away that rightfully belongs to you, you shouldn't be crying. Say, in the name of Jesus, I demand this is mine. Let it go, Satan. Let it go, Satan. Oh, hallelujah. You remember, there's the story of the woman. Oh, I love it so much. I've loved it lately. It's just been bubbling so much in my spirit. Let's go read it I think it's in the book of Luke. Luke chapter 13. That woman, Satan had bound. Luke chapter 13. Let's read it from verse 10. Hallelujah. Say with me, I have authority in the name of Jesus. Spiritual authority is mine. That grace is flowing through my life and it is producing fruit in my prayer life. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Say it. I walk in my first dominion. The first grace given to me, the grace of authority. I walk in it. I demonstrate the authority that I've been given in the name of Jesus Christ. I use the power of attorney in his name. And I take everything that is rightfully mine in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Luke chapter 13. From verse 10, he says, he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity, 18 years, and she was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, listen, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. Oh, I love that. Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. Jesus didn't pray to the Father. He didn't say, Father, please loose her. Father, please be merciful to her. Please set her free. Do you read that in your Bible? No, he didn't do that. He called that woman. He tells us why. You see that in a minute. Verse 13. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Woo! Somebody's going to be made straight. Somebody's life is being made straight tonight. Somebody's glorifying God tonight because a miracle, a visitation of God has come into your family. Everything that was crooked is being made straight, and you will utter glory to the name of the Father in the name of Jesus. He laid hands upon her. Immediately she was made straight and she glorified God. She glorified God. Woman, thou art loose. Some people think it was Bishop T.D. Jakes that spoke that. No, it was the Lord Jesus Christ. T.D. Jakes took it from the Lord Jesus Christ. Bishop T.D. Jakes had it directly from the Lord Jesus Christ. He simply repeated what the Lord Jesus said. Amen. Woman, thou art loose. Now, it wasn't just this woman that the Lord spoke it to. He spoke it also to every other woman that was in a situation like hers. Tormented, afflicted, broken, denied, deprived of their kingdom right and privilege. He spoke it also to every man like her. Afflicted, broken, deprived and denied of their kingdom privileges. Man, thou art loose from your infirmity in the name of Jesus. Woman, thou art loose from thine infirmity in the name of Jesus. And he told us when those Pharisees started complaining that he healed her at a time when he shouldn't have. Listen to what the Lord said in verse 16. He said, ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound low these 18 years, be loose from this bond on the Sabbath day? Listen to that. Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham? How many daughters and sons of Abraham am I speaking with tonight? Raise your hand. Say, I'm a son. I'm a daughter of Abraham. Hallelujah. That's me right there. He said, ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound low these 18 years, be loose from this bond on the Sabbath day? She's a daughter of Abraham. That means she has a right to the covenant. Yeah, she has been bound for 18 years. Maybe she did not know about her right. Maybe she did not know how to enforce her right. But I tell you, I guarantee you, it was not the Father holding her back from enjoying her privileges. It was Satan. It was Satan that bound her. It was Satan that afflicted her. And when Jesus came on the scene, he didn't say, Father, please, please let her go. Lord, please loose. No. He said, woman, thou art loose. He exercised authority. He exercised authority. And that's what we are called to do. Exercise our God-given authority. We ought to be able to look at that situation and say, in Jesus' name, I command you to be reversed. We ought to be able to look at people within our spiritual jurisdiction. People under our covering, people in our families, people who are totally yielded to our authority. And say, woman, you are loose in the name of Jesus. Woman, you are set free. Man, you are delivered in the name of Jesus. And we're not asking the Father, Lord, please. No, this is recognizing what is right, what is rightfully ours, and making a demand to receive it in Jesus' name and in his authority. That's what we're talking about. Hallelujah. Remember, something similar happened with, he said she's the daughter of Abraham. Remember, something similar happened with Lazarus in John chapter 11, verse 44. He had raised that man from the dead. The man was sick, died, and then he went and spoke. Father, I thank you that you heard me, prayed by his grace. And then he spoke, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus, come. And then Lazarus got up from the grave. But when Lazarus got up from the grave, he walked out of the tomb and he was bound. And then Jesus said, loose him and let him go. John 11, 44. Loose him and let him go. See, notice, the man was already alive. Jesus already called him out of the dead. But he's still bound. He's still bound. Do you know there are so many people, so many believers who have come into Christ? They are no longer spiritually dead. They are no longer in the world. They are now in Christ, but they are still bound. When they walk out of the tomb, they are bound from head to toe. They can't walk freely. They can't move freely. Jesus said, loose him and let him go. And he wasn't talking to the Father. Loose him and let him go. I love what he said about this woman in Luke chapter 13. He said, this woman, this daughter of Abraham, who has been bound for 13, does she not deserve to be set free? Even if it is on the Sabbath day. I love it because he invoked the covenant of Abraham. That same covenant that you and I have in Christ Jesus, he invoked it. You know, you and I are sons and daughters of Abraham. You know what the Bible says in Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, as it is. For it is written, cursed is every man that hangeth on the tree, so that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. There are still people today in the body of Christ who believe that curses can be on them. There are people in the body of Christ today who believe a curse can afflict them. Oh, somebody can speak a curse somewhere and it can touch you. No, that's not true. The only way a curse can touch a believer is if that believer gets off of the covenant, or if they don't recognize what is rightfully theirs in this covenant through Christ. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. He was made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we may receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. The blessing of Abraham is our rightful inheritance. The blessing of life. The blessing of blessing. The blessing of spiritual well-being. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 24, verse 1, Abraham was blessed in all things. You know that scripture, I hope you do. Genesis 24 and verse 1. It says, and Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. That's the covenant. That's the blessing of Abraham. That blessing of Abraham has been commanded over us because Jesus Christ was made a curse for us on the tree. So it is not God who is holding back the blessing. When we pray, God bless me. God, please bless me. God, please, please, please bless me. He has already blessed you. You are blessed. You now need to take your position of authority and take what belongs to you in Christ. Say it, I'm blessed in the name of Jesus. Say it again. I'm blessed in the name of Jesus. I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed. I'm blessed going out, I'm blessed coming in. I'm blessed rising up, I'm blessed laying down. I'm blessed, everything that I touch is blessed. Everything I do is blessed. I'm a child of the covenant of Abraham. Therefore, the blessing of Abraham has come upon me because Jesus Christ has been made a curse for me by hanging on the tree. Hallelujah! You are blessed. Well, we need to enforce that using our spiritual authority. Because if you leave it to Satan, he would blindfold us and make us believe that we don't have what we already have. You remember what he said to Eve in the garden? Oh, God knows in the day you eat that fruit, you'll be like, she was already like God. She was made in the image of God. He deceived her, blindfolded her. Said, in the day he knows you. No, she was already like him. She already had what she was looking for. She ate that tree because she wanted something that she already had. You know, there's so many believers who are out there looking for something they already have in Christ Jesus. They just don't know their place of authority. But you do. You do. You have that first dominion. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. One of my favorite Old Testament stories. Ha, 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 ha. Passages is a very short one, but it's one of my favorite Old Testament passages when I think of the kingdom authority that we have. How we have been given the authority in the name of Jesus to wage war. Like we learned last week, we have been given weapons that are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal. They are mighty through God. We're told that in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 from verse 3. One of my all-time favorite scriptures, when I think about these weapons of our warfare and the position that we have been given in the spirit, not just to wage a losing war, but to take our place of dominion and our take our place of authority and wage war, a good fight of faith. Paul said, I fought the good fight. What is the good fight of faith? The good fight of faith is the one we win. So to understand and to know that we are not just called to fight and we don't know what the outcome of that fight is. No, we are called to fight the good fight of faith. The good fight of faith because we win. Going into every spiritual battle, we know going into it, we have won. We have the victory. Bible says, thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. I believe that is probably 2 Corinthians 2:14. I'm not sure. Thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus, and then makes us a savor of his knowledge upon the earth. Sweet smelling savor. Because when we have the victory and we engage and we enjoy the victory that Jesus died to give to us and the world sees it, we are actually a sweet-smelling savor unto them. We have something they want. We are attractive to them. They say, how do you do that? What is it you have? They would even say, she has something. Yeah, you do have something. He's called the blessing, the spiritual authority. You do have it. But one of my all-time favorite scriptures regarding this and how we win the victory in every situation of life is that scripture in talking about the mighty men of David in 2 Samuel chapter 23. Let's read that scripture. It's just a few verses, verse 8 to 12. Let's read it together and let's begin to try to bring this to a close tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. What are we learning about? Recognizing this important PowerPoint in prayer. Recognizing what is rightfully ours in Christ and demanding it in his name and authority. Hallelujah. We ought to be like this mighty man of David. Yes, sir. 2 Samuel 23. From verse 8. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. He said, these be the names of the mighty men whom David had. The Tachmonite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains. The same was Adino the Eznite. He lifted up his spear against 800. Whom he slew at one time. Yeah, that's a true warrior. One man lifted up his spear against 800. It didn't matter where they were coming from. Some were coming from family. Some were coming from his place of work. Some were coming from just his even enemies, people that just didn't even like his kingdom profession. Some were coming from institutions. Some were. It didn't matter where they were coming from. 800 people. In one day, he killed them all. 800. Now, that's a man. That's a true warrior. I mean, as believers, we can fight one simple, silly devil. And we're tired, we're panting. I need a vacation. What did you do? Oh, that devil. And it's a very small one. Small, very tiny one. With our tongue hanging out of our. No, we can't be doing that. We need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We need to boldly take what belongs to us in Christ Jesus. We need to go, that's mine. Let it go. Lose it. Give it to me. Give it to me. In the name of Jesus. Let it go. Let it go. That's mine. Let it go. You cannot have it. Stop in the name. We ought to be winning the victory. In every area of life. Not being cowardly and cringing out of fear and timidity. The Bible says the righteous is as bold as a lion. All of this we execute in prayer. We've done the fathers, we've worshiped him, we've praised him, we've talked to him, we've expressed our hearts, we've articulated the things we want him to do, we've thanked him, we've shown him our confidence, we have praised him because he's already walking, and then we take our place of dominion. Satan, in the name of Jesus, we take authority. Hallelujah. Woo! Adino the Esnite. I love that name. Verse 9, and after him was Eliezer, the son of Dodo. Some people call it Dodo. Either one is good. Some people call it Dodo. Some other people call it Dodo. Either one is good. Eliezer, we know his name was Eliezer, the Harhohite. One of the three mighty men with David when they defied the Philistines that were gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone astray. This man, Eliezer, he arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary. His hand was weary, and his hand clave unto his sword, and the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to the spoil. Woo-hoo! He fought and won the victory and won the victory and won the until his hand was weary. And his sword clung to his hand, but he would not let go of that sword. He would not let loose of that sword. And he kept waging that war and kept waging that war until he killed every last one of them. And the Bible says, the Lord wrought a great victory. Woo-hoo! Because don't you know there are forces, there are angelic beings that are working for us, that are working on our behalf. Don't you know there are angelic beings that are serving us? When we take our place of authority, angels go to work. When we declare the word of God, angels go to work. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1, they have been sent to minister for those that will be heirs of salvation. That's why many times we can say, go forth, ministering spirits. Go walk. There are angels of the harvest who go and bring in the harvest for us when we declare the word of harvest. There are angels who execute protection on our behalf. There are angels who go to wage war and determine that the enemy loses his hold on the things that belong to us. There are angels that bring restoration. They restore to us things that the enemy stole. There are angels that create peace in places where we're fighting victories, that we're fighting battles that we should not be fighting. There are angels that bring finances where Satan is trying to hold back our increase. Angels that lose those monies and those blessings and bring them into our lives. Whew, hallelujah. Hallelujah. These angels go to work when we take our place of spiritual authority and put the word of God in them. I'm going to read one scripture about that now before I close. Still have a few minutes here. Let's read. This man Eliezer, he fought these Philistines until his hands were weary, but he kept holding on to the sword. He wouldn't let go. He kept wielding that sword until he killed every last one of them. You know what? And after he killed them all the Israelites who ran away at the beginning of the battle, they came back. But when they came back, they did not find any Philistine alive. All they saw was spoils. All they saw were spoils with the wealth and the riches and the products, the goodies that the Philistines had with them. Oh, hallelujah. Folks, When we stand in our place of spiritual authority, some say, God bless me. God bring spoil into my life. Bring goodies into my life. Listen, you see from Eliezer's story, when he fought and won, the spoil was already there. You see that? The spoil was, they came, not only him, he gathered for himself, because he gathered in his family, he gathered enough, because he's the one who did the fight. For the fighting. And then, every other person in the tribe, every other person in the nation also came, and they also gathered. Everybody gathered. But he didn't want to pray, Lord, bless us with spoil, bless us with goodies. Lord, please, if it's thy will, if you look upon us with compassion, please, let there be some blessings that come our way today. No, no, fight. You win that battle and you see there's already spoil. Oh, hallelujah. That's a word from the Lord right there. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You fight and win that battle, you see spoil. This spoil is already there. The reason many people are not seeing this spoil is because they are not willing to fight. They are not willing to take their place. Hallelujah. Look in the word. Every time the people of God came into plenty, every time the people of God came into spoil and into goodies, they had to fight. They had to fight. We have believers who don't want to leave home. They don't want to get up from the bed in the morning. They don't want to leave the bed. They are so crushed, so broken, they don't want to get out. And I've been there. Don't misunderstand me, please. Don't take this as a put down. I have been there. I know exactly how it feels. To feel despondency and to feel despair and to just be so tired and you weary and almost borderline depression. You don't want to get, I understand what it, but that's not good enough. I understand it. I know how, but it's not good enough. We've got to get up. Because the spoil that God has for us is out there if we win the battle. If we fight and win, we will. Hi, Jehoshaphat. Bible tells us in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, you remember that story? When they went to war and the Lord told them, don't worry, the battle is the Lord's. You just do their own fight, their own place in that battle was to raise up praise. And when they did their part, the angels went to work. And their enemies started fighting one another. But you know what? They had to show up. The covenant people had to show up. Because when their enemies were fighting one another and killed one another, all the spoil was there. The Bible says a valley became called the valley of blessing, Beraka. Baraka, because the place was so full of blessing. It took them days to gather all the blessings. But you know what? They had to show up. They couldn't hide under the bed, under the table at home, and say, angels, go fight. When you finish and you win the battle, please call me. Call me. No. It doesn't work like that. You have to show up and fight and win. And when we win, the spoil is already there. Thank God for Eliezer. Thank God for Eliezer, the son of Dodo. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Verse 11. And after him was Shammah. Ooh, I love this man. After him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hararite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop. There was a piece of ground full of lentils. And the people fled. That's the children of Israel fled from the Philistines. But in verse 12. This man, Shammah, he stood in the midst of the ground. Shammah. He stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines. He slew the Philistines and the Lord wrought a great victory. Whew! It's a ground of lentil, a land, a ground full of lentil. He said, it's mine. I'm not letting you have it. It may be a small piece of land, but it's mine. It's my inheritance. You are not having it. Woo! Talking about fighting. Talk about fighting for what is rightfully yours. I'm not letting you have it. It's mine. You can't have it. It's mine. Yeah, it looks small right now, but one of these days, it's going to grow and become a huge forest. Hallelujah. And people are going to come from all over the world to buy lentils, to buy lentils. Hallelujah. And our family will become so blessed, will become so prosperous, will become so wealthy, will become so rich. But you are not having my, you are not having my field of lentils. It doesn't look that great right now. It looks like this small, tiny little field, but you are not having it. You are not having it. Woo-hoo! And he stood there and fought the Philistines and fought the Philistines. The Bible says the Lord wrought a great victory. Folks, it's time to take our place of authority. It's time to speak the word. It's time to wield the sword of the Spirit. It's time to lift up the shield of faith. I like what the scriptures say about the ministry of angels here in Psalm 103. From Psalm 103, verse 17, the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting unto them that fear him, and is his righteousness unto their children's children. Hallelujah. To such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. Verse 19, the Lord has prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Verse 20, bless the Lord, you his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening to the voice of his word. Hearkening to the voice of his word. Hallelujah. Bless ye the Lord, all you his hosts, you ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I like it. Bless the Lord, you angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening to the voice of his word. You know, when you put the word of God in your mouth, you are lifting up the sword of the Spirit. And the angels of God go to work when they hear the voice of the word of God. When you put the word of God upon your lips, it's like the Father himself is the one speaking. When the angels hear the voice, they hear the sound of the voice of the word of God, they go to work. They go to work and they begin to rot the victory. They begin to, oh, my time is almost up. Hallelujah. In order to successfully stand your ground and win the spiritual conflicts that you confront, it is important that you put on and keep on the whole armor of God. Let's close right here in Ephesians chapter 6. I got just 2 minutes. 2 minutes here. Let's close right here. Ephesians chapter 6. Listen to that. In order to successfully stand your ground and win the spiritual conflicts you will confront, it is important to put on and keep on the whole armor of God. Ephesians chapter 6. Look at this. Verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Hallelujah. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, whereby you shall be able to quench all the fiery dart of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm sorry for preaching. It's supposed to be a teaching service. But do you see what we're talking about here? Do you see what the Holy Spirit is endeavoring to show us here? You take on the whole armor of God. We do it in the place of prayer. We take our place of spiritual authority. And when we do, when we are strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, when we show up, when we show up, when we put the word of God in our heart and we put the word of God in our mouth, when we know what rightfully belongs to us, when we declare our place and we demand that Satan let go. Hey, my friends, prayers. It would be like the heavens opened over us. It'd be like a deluge of God's glory and God's blessings and showers came upon our lives. And the rain would just keep falling and keep falling and keep falling and keep falling until sometimes we get to the place where we say, Lord, it's just too much. Why? Because we took our place of authority. We didn't just receive what the Lord sent to us, what our Father gave to us. We also took what the enemy, our enemy, was trying to deprive us of, which was rightfully ours. The blessing of Abraham. The blessing of Abraham. So we don't cry, folks. We don't cry, we don't lament. We don't go around telling sorry stories, calling everybody on the phone, do you know what happened to me? And No. We stand our ground, take the whole armor of God, fight, engage spiritual authority, and win the victory. I see you winning. In Jesus' mighty name, glory be to God. Thank you, Father. We honor you tonight. We thank you, Father, for your holy word. Thank you for your mighty presence. We take our place of dominion. We take our place of authority in the name of the Lord Jesus. We demand everything that rightfully belongs to us. We claim it by faith using the power of attorney in the name of Jesus. We stand our ground. We take authority over principalities and powers. We command you, Satan, lose your hold on everything that is rightfully ours in the name of Jesus. Come on, lose your hold and let it go. Come on. We stand tall and we stand strong. And Father, we bless your holy name. We give you praise for the authority and dominion that you've entrusted us with. We thank you for your word that is working on our behalf. Go forth, ministering spirits. Go work for us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen.